New day, and we won't be pushed around because we're in our new studio. We'll see how this works. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There is also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Some great football this weekend, some terrific games, and we're in our new studio. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. So, wait. Am I working?
Yeah, you're working.
Okay, good. I can't hear myself. There we go.
There might be some glitches here,
I was
going
to say, I was when I saw that we were in the new studio today, I momentarily got excited, and then I realized something inevitably will go wrong today because...
Oh, it has to.
This wouldn't be the place. You know what I mean? Well, this is where we work.
Well,
things go wrong.
When we first came in, Aaron climbed up and pulled a water bottle out of the air conditioner.
Right, and now there's cold air blowing out of it.
Yeah, which I'm not going to complain.
I don't know how that worked.
I'm not going to complain about the cold air because we've had to bake in that other place for
right.
so long, so there'll be no complaints about that.
It is strange how that worked out.
Yeah, how we were using a water bottle to somehow keep it from getting it too hot.
Yep.
I don't know how that
but
works.
But here we are.
Indeed. And it's kind of a nice setup. These are... The old 1560 studios, for those of you who are familiar with 1560.
Right.
And so Jong is about 100 feet away from us, but we have TVs. We have this nice screen that tells us when you call now.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
So we can ignore you with even a bigger screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you see that far?
Not with sunglasses on.
I was going to say, you're very elderly and you're always wearing sunglasses. That's far away from
I don't
you.
Know. We'll have to wait until there's actually a phone call on the line.
We may have to, long term, we may have to switch seats.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I kind of like this angle, though. I feel comfortable over here.
Okay.
So I'm sure I'll be able to read it. Although, we'll find out. We'll find out. We'll try it.
In the words of Fred Fowler, we shall see.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah. Have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend, man. All I did was hang around the house and watch football. I got out and did that Rockets run yesterday, but that was it. Everything else was just game after game after game. I didn't even drink that much beer this weekend.
Nor did I.
It's very strange.
Lost some money betting college football, won some money betting NFL, watched some fights. That was good. That was pretty much my whole weekend.
I was 3-1 on my college bets. The only one I missed was Pitt.
Boy, college whipped my ass. I'm not going to lie. I ended up not losing a whole lot, but all of my big plays lost. Everything I felt really good about wasn't even close. So I had to basically have some smaller volume plays dig me out of a gigantic hole. Hmm. Didn't dig me all the way out, but it could have been way worse. And then NFL got me back over the drowning mark, but not a great college weekend for me, although the games were pretty good. The LSU-Bama game, and who knows when's the thing? Tomorrow they announce the deal? All right, well, we'll figure it out tomorrow, but I guess we'll give our rankings tomorrow. I have no idea what those rankings are going to look like tomorrow, though. I can only assume, you know, Alabama's going to be near the top. And Clemson's going to be near the top. Everybody else, to me, is kind of...
I think Clemson has to stay number one with the win over Florida State.
Everyone was like, oh, Clemson's not that good.
Florida State's
a double-digit win over Florida State is pretty good.
That's a good football team with a great running back.
Yeah.
And that win impressed me. I'm sorry if you guys weren't blown away by that, but that Clemson team, man, that was a good victory. And I think Okie State will get a nice bump.
I do too, although I fully expect them to lose pretty soon as well.
Well, but the big advantage they have is they have Oklahoma and Baylor in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a huge edge because that's a terrific environment. Would it shock you, though, if they win Okie State and lost Iowa State?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. This team is much better than the last one that did that.
But I also don't think that – I mean, listen, I don't think that Oklahoma or Baylor are necessarily worlds better than Okie State.
No.
I think that they're going to lose one of those games because they're not – Oklahoma State's not worlds better than them. I think Oklahoma beats Baylor this weekend. I think we're starting to see what the Big 12 is, and TCU was – you and I said this over and over and over. Eventually, TCU is going to have an off day offensively, and they're going to be exposed. And sure enough, they were exposed. And I don't know if it was necessarily the same thing with LSU, but I said a lot, one of these days, Leonard Fournette's going to show up and be a human. There's going to be a team that shows up and says, okay, we're not going to let you beat us. Somebody else has to do it. And I don't know if LSU can do that. Sure enough, I mean, Alabama, they didn't just make him look human. They dominated Leonard Fournette. They dominated up front. And they just showed that they said, hey, we're just a better team than you.
Especially playing that style of game. And we've always said it.
Yeah, you can't line up and bang heads with Alabama and think that you're going to put your road graders up against their road graders and you're going to just bully their linemen around. It just doesn't happen.
Hey, LSU is one of the few teams that's been able to do it in the past. Florida, when Florida was good, was able to do it. But in this case, it didn't work. And you know what? That was an impressive win for Alabama, but there's still a lot of football to be played, and I still think there's chaos coming. I really do. And if you're a TCU fan, well, first off, if you're the TCU fans that kept telling us we were idiots for saying
the TCU was about to lose,
take Okie State plus 4.5 and the over, which, by the way, you got on the late pick.
Oh, that was so lucky for me.
That was perfect.
That was one of the things that kept my college football hole from being deeper.
I lost on Pitt against Notre Dame, which, you know, that wasn't a bad loss. They could have easily covered in that game, even though Notre Dame was clearly better. But had a big bet on Akron, of all teams.
I did, UMass, too. So I liked Akron.
Hit that one and hit Okie State plus 4.5 and hit the over. So that was my college football Saturday.
And I lost on Duke, which was a killer, and Washington. Washington was the worst. They didn't even show up.
Yeah, that one, I didn't play it, but I was with you 100% on that one. I thought about hitting the button on it, and I was like, no, you know what? I'm having a pretty good weekend. I actually hit two CFL plays to get back to 70% on the CFL after a long stretch of kind of mediocrity there, and now the playoffs are starting where I always crush it. So I'm feeling good about my betting.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I got lucky on a few things in the NFL. I did not get lucky on the Redskins. I still feel like that was the right play, but they just suck.
Yeah, I think you were on the right end of that.
The Titans did me very well.
As well.
The lowly Bills did me very well. The Vikings did me well. The Raiders did me well, and thank goodness if you bet the Steelers, I almost feel bad for you because D'Angelo Williams getting shoved out of bounds at the 1 yard line and forcing them to kick a game winning field goal with 1 second left was the difference between Raiders cover and Steelers cover.
Yep.
And that
was about 3 inches.
Yeah.
It was close.
And I was so angry when I saw him, and then they got him. And the Colts did me well for once, Fred. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that was another good pick. But I'll tell you who I feel bad for if you bet the Cowboys in the points.
That's rough, too.
That's a rough beat, but that's not the worst beat of the day. And I wasn't on this, but the worst beat of the day was the Giants and the Buccaneers. If you had under 49, the last play of the game, the Bucs are doing the stupid lateral thing. Throw the ball away. A Giant guy picks it up and strolls into the end zone. And that puts him over.
That's a tough break.
That's one of those you just go, really?
How about a bad beat that didn't affect the spread, but maybe a questionable real-world decision? And this is a guy who I have a lot of respect for in Dan Quinn. And first of all, Blaine Gabbert winning a football game is borderline ridiculous. But he won an NFL football game. I don't know what the right move is. To me, the right move is you get the 1 yard. If you're down 6 points and there's 3 minutes left and it's fourth and goal on the one, I understand you're playing a team that you're probably better than, you're more talented than, and your defense had been playing well. You had a couple timeouts. You think you can get the ball back. But when your defense is that good, to me, fourth and goal at the one, you go for it. And then worst case, San Francisco has to start a drive at the one. And that's a team that's pretty limited offensively to begin with and what they can do. You've got a quarterback making his first start in 2 years, and he's got basically a goalpost behind him. I think you've got to go for it in that situation. And the Falcons choose to kick a field goal to make it a one-point game and then end up losing the game by one. What were your thoughts when that decision was made?
I thought it was a – I understand the thinking behind it because, you know, if you're, okay, let's get the 3 points. It's Blaine freaking Gabbert. We're going to get the ball back with Matt Ryan, who in the past has been pretty good in the last 2 minutes. You move the ball pretty well. All you need is a field goal. I get the thinking behind it. However, I think if it's me, I go for the touchdown there for two reasons. Now I'm giving myself two opportunities to win the football game because if I don't score the touchdown here, then you're right. They're backed up. There's no way they're getting a first down from down there. There's no way Blaine Gabbert's getting 10 yards from his own one-yard line. So I'm going to get a punt with the ball in good field position and another opportunity to score a touchdown. So I'd rather take the two chances to score the game-winning touchdown, including one from 1 yard, than, okay, kick the easy field goal.
And then hope you get the ball back and get it in the field goal range.
But I understand the thinking. I don't think it's a ridiculous decision simply because, and you look at that 49ers offense, like there's no way they're getting a first down. We got this, and we're going to get the ball back, and all we got to do is kick a field goal. But you still have to kick the two field goals, and the guy could easily choke it. I'd rather take my chance from the one. But I don't think it was a horrible decision.
You had
decision.
The league's leading rusher on your team as well. I know he didn't have a good day.
Let me point out one more thing in his defense. And again, I would have gone for it. They have been dreadful in the red zone for 3 weeks now. And I'm sure that played into his thinking.
My play would be throw it in the air near Julio Jones.
Yeah. And again, I'm with you. I go for it. But when you add all that up, it makes a lot of sense that he made the decision he did. I just don't think it worked. And it's one of those things we talk about decisions, not outcomes. I don't think it was a horrible decision. It's just not the decision I would have made.
All right.
We're going to take a very quick break.
No Texans to talk today.
No. Isn't that awesome? Well, actually, there is some Texans to talk about.
Okay.
We'll do it when we come back. We'll also take some phone calls. 713-780-3776. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You did a lot of self-scouting, I imagine, over the bye. What did you learn?
Yeah, you know what, Aaron? We're looking forward. You know what? We're moving. We're on to Cincinnati. You know, what's done is done, and we're on and on to the next opponent. And, you know, we've studied ourselves and hopefully made some changes and taking it one day at a time and moving on to the Bengals.
And we're back on the Blitz. How many cliches did he work into that? At least four?
They're on to the next season.
Good luck with that. I don't understand. I mean, it's a pretty simple question. Did you do self-scouting on the break? I think that's a fair question, right? Don't you?
That seems...
Shouldn't teams do that? I mean, isn't that a question you should ask? Oh, we're on to Cincinnati. All right. Well, you know what? Good luck. I don't like your chances there, but I do like your chances to cover. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Quick Texans update, though. There were so many people that were essentially counting the Colts out last night, and the Texans were going to be in first place this morning.
Yes.
No rock and roll.
Rock and roll. No. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock roll. Yeah, the Texans are no longer in first place, which is obviously an ultra disappointment to Mark Vandermeer and countless others.
Well, that's all right. All they have to do is rally around Brian Hoyer.
That's it.
And go on the road and beat the Bengals, and Boom.
Just go beat a team that no one else has been able to beat all year.
Yeah.
No big deal.
But you know what? The Texans have done pretty well against – well, when Gary Kubiak was there, they did pretty well against the Bengals. They didn't do so well last year.
You know who does really well against Gary Kubiak? The Colts.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to matter what team he's working with. The Colts don't lose to Gary Kubiak in Indy.
Yeah, that hasn't happened.
Ever.
So we'll get to that. 5 o'clock, we'll go through all the games. But I thought that was a very interesting game. Can also show how you change coordinators. Sometimes you get results. That offense looked a lot different and a lot better. And, there's a lot about that game, too. And I think it's a little early to start writing off the Colts, although I'm not ready to say they're what we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. But that was a very good win. And they were the better team.
Yeah.
They were the better team yesterday. Let's try some phone calls. DJ Holly Grove, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, now.
Okay.
Yo.
There he
is. Yo, hey, sports to you.
Hey, sports to you guys. All right, I have a question. And it's about the overtime issues yesterday. Not just saying it because my Saints lost. I'm upset. Defense totally let us down, which – is expected anyway. But do you guys agree with Mike Golick? He said he kind of feels that the rules should be changed to give both teams possession. I don't know. I'm kind of up on the fence about it. What do you guys think?
I think the change that they made where, you get both possessions unless somebody scores a touchdown, I like it. Because honestly, in overtime, if you can't stop them from scoring a touchdown, you shouldn't win.
Yeah, I think the only people saying that today are Saints fans. Because the Titans march right down the field, but stop them.
Yeah.
Or, you know what else I thought was pretty cool? See what the Vikings did in overtime? They kicked off.
Yeah.
They won the toss and kicked off, pinned the Rams back, took the wind at their back, stopped them, got the field goal to win the game. I think that adds a strategy to it. I actually think this works. I do. And it always sucks if your team's on the wrong side of it, but you know what you should be really mad about today if you're a Saints fan? The hell, Joey Browner, does he have to grab somebody every single time they go out on a route?
Yes.
I mean, you made Marcus Mariota look like he was a 10-year pro yesterday.
Right.
That defense was brutal. And, the Saints, I think, had turned things, looked like they were turning things around a little bit. But, again, the Titans make a coaching change, come out with a different approach. They simplify things. They look like a different team. And... yeah, I don't think the overtime had it. I enjoyed yesterday, the last 2 weeks, really, the first 2 weeks of the NFL season where I've just enjoyed watching the ends of games because there have been, especially those early games where you have 3, 4, 5 of them going down to the wire and I've got the whole DirecTV set up with all the games on right. And just going game to game. Man, because as much as I was bitching about the quality of play early in the year, I think we're seeing better football. I think we're seeing better quarterback play, even from donkey quarterbacks. And we're seeing a lot of close games. The finishes yesterday were pretty damn good across the board with a few exceptions. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try, is it Greg?
Hey now, Greg. Sports.
What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. I was wondering, did you guys hear about the Lockhart High School team that tanked their game this week by more than 7 points so that they could make the playoffs? Somehow there was a three-way tie between Lockhart, Kerrville, Tyvee, and I think Alamo Heights. And if they lost the game by more than 7, that means that they get to make the playoffs. And so the head coach purposely fumbled into the hands of a defender on the other team that they were playing, and the score ended up being something, where they lost by 13 points. But in the end, they make the playoffs. And I think this has to do something with something y'all talked about before where – like in the Little League World Series where they blow a game to go on to the next round. I just wanted to hear you guys' opinion or if y'all have heard about it, and I'll shut up and listen.
I heard about it, and I didn't have a problem with it. Fred might. I don't. I mean, otherwise, if you're taking a chance that your team can either get into the playoffs or not get into the playoffs, and I didn't really understand the tiebreaker rule that
right.
would force you to have to lose by more than 7 points to get in, but that was the rule. So to me, coach did the right thing. He made sure his team got in the playoffs.
I think this is a different situation than trying to intentionally duck a team.
Okay.
I mean, that's cowardly.
To set yourself up in a certain way in the playoffs versus just making the playoffs?
Yeah, line up and beat the people you're supposed to beat. In this case,
If it's the only way to get in the playoffs, that's you do it, right?
Well, I have a problem with tiebreaker rules that put you in that situation.
I do too.
And I don't know enough about the rules, and those I'd need to study. But I can't fathom a situation where, oh, if you lose by more than seven, you're in the playoffs, as opposed to win the football game and you're in the playoffs.
Right.
So yeah, now if it's a matter of all you have to do is win and you're in, that's different. If you're trying to lose by seven, either win or lose by more than seven, I have a problem with that.
Right.
But apparently that wasn't the case, right? It had to finish
in. They had to lose by more than 7 points to get in.
Yeah, I just think that's obviously. I mean, I have less of a problem with that than I did the other thing. Because okay. The other thing was, oh, let's duck a team that might beat us. That's cowardly.
Right.
That's not, you know, this is, okay, here's what happens for you to get in the playoffs. Well, guess what? I'm playing kids off the street.
Yeah.
I'm going and getting the girls on the soccer team to play. But the problem is the rule there.
Agreed.
713-780-ESPN. Let's try Brian. What's up, Brian? Hello, Brian.
Sports, Brian.
Hey, can you hear me?
We hear you. Hello.
All right, quick question. I was wondering to see if you guys thought it was fair that, or do you think that it was fair that a key to leave suspension of one game for poking old boy in the eye was fair, and if you think that he might be able to appeal that and get suspended white.
Well, he is going to appeal it, but I didn't have a problem with them suspending him for a game. That dude walked up into an altercation that had nothing to do with him and stuck his fingers in a guy's eye. I don't know where the justification is for it.
Yeah, I'm okay.
And then he jumped around like he didn't do anything. He stuck it like he made two fingers and shoved his hand through his face mask. That's the only thing I can think he was trying to do.
And more importantly, that penalty took away any chance of winning the football game.
Yeah.
Because that gave him a first down. The clock was running. They were trying to slow him down and kick a field goal and then get the ball back and have a chance. You do that, all that clock management just goes to hell. You cost your team any chance. Now, I don't think the way Peyton Manning has played in fourth quarters, I don't think they were coming back. But you took that chance away from your team. And that was just dumb.
Yeah.
That was one of the dumbest penalties I've seen all year. And, yes, he wound up I think he deserves a suspension. I think that's worse than the Bridgewater hit. The Bridgewater hit was at least in the context of the game.
He's trying to play football. And I understand sometimes you start, and it looked like almost he tried to roll away from him. I'm not saying he didn't want to hit him, but he looked like he tried to roll off the hit.
Yeah.
It's still a fairly dirty play, in my opinion. But to me, at least it's a football play.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a dirty football play. Going up and poking a dude in the eye after the whistle.
That has nothing to do with the game on the
zero.
Field. Zero. It's dumb. It costs your team games. And, yeah, you should be suspended for that. And the Bridgewater hit, it did look like, I mean, and I've seen it like 6,000 times now. Live, it looked like he was throwing his elbow into him.
Yeah.
On the replay, the more you look, it looks like he's trying to get away from
hitting
him. Yeah,
that's what I said. It looked like he tried to roll over the top of him.
Yeah, and it was too late. He was too far on top of him. And he never should have gotten that close.
He also knew that was going to cost him 15 yards, which is probably why he tried to roll away from it.
Yeah, and there wasn't much he was going to be able to do at that point, though.
No.
But I don't think he was trying to hurt him. And he even said that afterwards. It's like his mom knows Teddy Bridgewater's mom. But I also think Greg Williams coaches that way. He coaches you to push it right up to the end and go after the whistle. So, yeah, I think it was dirty, but it wasn't. On the scale of dirty,
eye poke greater than?
Yes, poke greater than hitting the quarterback. All right, quick break. We got a David Dilotti update for the first time in the new studios coming up. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in.
Lock them in. Rock and roll.
713-780-ESPN. TJ wants to know, can we play Dust in the Wind for the Cowboys season? Not yet. I don't think anybody's running away with that division, but if they're an EKG machine, it's not like the full beep yet.
No.
But it's like, boop, boop, beep, blip. Yeah. It's getting It's getting bad, but yeah, had every chance to win that game last night. I want to get to a little college football, if that's okay, because there were some cool finishes Saturday. Joe asked, what'd you guys think of Bielema on Saturday?
Ballsy call, but that's what you do when you're in that situation. Arkansas didn't have anything to lose.
No.
I mean, they were a kind of a hot pick coming into the season, and they're just not good. So when you get a chance to win a game like that, you take it, and it worked out. Good for them.
They've played better of late. I think the game that got overlooked a little bit was Clemson-Florida State. We talked about that a little bit at the top, but that was a good win, man. I mean, Florida State is still a very talented team with a great running back, and I really thought that they played well. Clemson's just better, and now you look at the way it plays out for Clemson, there's not I don't see any losses left on their schedule. I think you can almost punch your ticket.
I do think that, especially after watching that North Carolina-Duke game,
maybe North Carolina.
ACC championship is going to be tougher than I would have thought it would be.
I still think they're better than North Carolina, though. But you know what? North Carolina's a team that ought to be kicking itself because they choked like hell against South Carolina to open the season.
Yep.
Or else they'd be in this conversation. Did you see the end of the Michigan State game?
I did.
Clear mistake by the officials, not overturned. And it's kind of weird. What do you do with Michigan State? Okay, they lost a game they probably shouldn't have on a bad call. They won a game they probably shouldn't have on just a bad punter play.
Right.
What do you make of them?
I mean, first of all, I don't think they're that good. I mean,
no. I don't think they're awful, though.
I don't think they're awful either, but I have a feeling it's going to work itself out. Like, Ohio State's going to take care of them or Michigan will beat them. They just don't seem as good as I expected them to be. So, I mean, I feel bad for them to lose that way, but sometimes that happens.
If they
go undefeated the rest of the way and we look back at that and say, that's rough.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard for them to – it's going to be hard for them to crack this if there's a one-loss Notre Dame or a one-loss Stanford or somebody like that. The Big 12, I think, gets very interesting now. This is when the good teams start playing each other. And we saw Oklahoma State beat TCU fairly handily. And I still think, you know, TCU, it was funny because there was people giving me grief on Twitter about TCU, so I was kind of fighting back a little bit. But, their best offensive player – other than Boykin got hurt. Yeah, you were down 28-9 when that happened. Where was he before that? And the thing about TCU, their defense has not been good all year. They lost a lot of guys, and it finally bit them. Having said that, I'm not going to say TCU can't beat OU and Baylor down the stretch. And if they do that, I think you're going to wind up with two or three one-loss teams in the Big 12. I think Oklahoma State obviously is in the best position with those games at home, but that OU game is always tough, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. And one thing about Oklahoma State, they have the same explosive offense that TCU and Baylor have, but every now and then their defense forces turnovers and gets some points. And that's kind of been their MO under Gundy. Even when they have a terrible defense, occasionally they get points. And I think that's a little bit of the difference, and we saw a little bit of that on Saturday too, because Boykin doesn't throw picks the way he did in that game.
No, it's just a bad game.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, they're going to have a bad game eventually, and will their defense be able to pick them up? And the answer was no.
Boy, we both wanted to bet Navy so bad.
Yes.
And just the problem with Navy is if you get them down,
they're not built to come back.
No, and that's not what happened. And Navy actually got the lead and played the game they needed to play and kept Paxton Lynch off the field and got a nice win over Memphis. And it takes a little bit of the luster off the game Saturday with Houston and Memphis, but not a lot, because I think whoever comes out of that group of Memphis, Houston, and Navy at this point with one loss, they're going to get the New Year's Day bowl.
I do too.
And in Houston, I think, obviously, if they can get by Memphis, then I'll tell you what, I will bet against them when they go to UConn, because you talk about your classic trap game.
Yeah.
They're going to be 20-point favorites on the road at UConn in between Memphis and Navy. I'll probably go the other way on that. But I'll give them a little credit, man. They did not play their best game on Saturday. They were outplayed a lot of the game, but, man, it just goes to show you how coaching decisions and good coaching can make a difference in a close game. And they get a point on a block punt. They get a point on an interception return. Cincinnati does the goofy onside kick that basically gives points to UH, and in the end, it's a three-point game. And Gunnar Keel was out of his mind. I mean, the guy throws for over 500 yards. His receivers are just making these ridiculous catches. And there's some of them you just look at and go, oh, well, what do you do?
Right.
I mean, the guy put the ball in an NFL you know, basically in an NFL window, and a guy goes up and grabs it, and great coverage on the guys, and just like, man, what do you do to that? And I thought Cincinnati played a great game, except for the fact that they made had a couple of breakdowns, and in the end, took advantage, which is what they've done all year. And I'm looking forward to that Memphis game, because Memphis has trouble against the run, and can run the football, especially with Greg Ward. So it'll be it's going to be a hell of a game. Hope people go out to it. And then if Houston wins that, man, Houston Navy in 3 weeks will be a hell of a game too.
No doubt.
So I don't know what to make of Iowa at this point. I know it's they haven't beaten anybody, but you know, they go into Indiana. I thought, well, maybe Indiana will...
Indiana's terrible, though.
Yeah, they are, but they've played some of the other teams close, and the score looked close, but the game wasn't. And I don't know what to make of them. I keep looking at them going, they're not that good. They're not that good. Hell, they're going to get to the Big 12 championship, Big 10 championship game. And
that's almost a lock.
One shot at, who knows who it's going to be yet, because, I mean, what if Ohio State loses to Michigan? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that could happen there.
A lot of things could happen. And, I don't think the other side is necessarily decided yet, but I do think that whether it's Ohio State or Michigan State, I think all those teams are better than Iowa. And I think you put those guys on a neutral field, and you'll see that. I mean, Iowa just—I can't buy into them. They their talent level is so much lower than some of these other teams, and you know that's not necessarily a killer, because it's not like they've ever had talent, and they've beat all these other teams with not much talent, and they're really well coached right now. And as much as I don't like the guy, Ferentz is doing a good job with that team, but if you give me a low-talent team with good coaching and you put them up against a high-talent team with good coaching, which Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State probably have three of the top 10 coaches in college football, I'll take the team with a lot of talent and good coaching.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. There's something about these guys. They just keep figuring out ways to win, and you know, we can keep telling them they're bad, but they just keep winning football games. Texter, who gets in if OK State and Baylor end up undefeated? Impossible, because they play each other. Yeah, so that's not happening. MRK, I know it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds LSU and Bama see each other down the road? I wouldn't throw out TCU just yet. I'm not ready to throw out LSU if they can win out. It depends on what happens. I mean, it's a long shot that the SEC would get to, but I don't think it's impossible. And that would be the way that it would happen, would be LSU doesn't lose another game.
It's going to take a lot of other teams losing, though.
Yeah, I think, well, Stanford and Notre Dame play each other, so you're going to get rid of one of those. The question is, you need Stanford to probably lose a game before that and then beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then a lot depends on what happens in the Big Ten. Because I don't think Clemson's losing. And you probably need Utah to lose, too. I mean, I don't know. I think a one-loss Utah
and Stanford are...
That's actually, depending on what happens here, if you gets down to a one-loss Stanford or a one-loss LSU, you're going to be able to make a pretty good case for LSU. Especially you start comparing the loss, and then you can look at the body of work. I don't think it's impossible.
But Stanford, that's the thing that's working in Stanford's favor is a couple things. A, their loss was the first game of the season. And in college football, the earlier you have, if you have one loss, the earlier it is, the better, because people tend to eventually forget about it. B, they're going to have a late-season win over Notre Dame, which is better than anything left on LSU's schedule, and probably better than any win on LSU's schedule, period. And C, Stanford will have a Pac-12 championship game, and LSU is highly unlikely to be playing in any kind of a championship
game. And I think that might wind up being the difference. But I still think the way the committee looks at things, if Alabama's number two or number one, and that's your only loss was at Tuscaloosa, and you went through the SEC unbeaten other than that with a win over Florida, who didn't look very good on Saturday, by the way. And the problem is I think the rest of the SEC West, we see Mississippi starting to look like, okay, that's taking some of the luster off.
It's a bad loss that Alabama had. They have a bad loss. But at this point, there's no other SEC team that you can put ahead of them.
No, you can't.
Because the only one that you could consider putting ahead of them,
they just beat.
Just lost. Yeah, lost to them.
But so. I don't think it's impossible that both those teams get in. A lot's going to have to happen, but you know what? A lot probably will.
Yeah.
Because especially if the Big 12 eats itself alive here over the next few weeks and takes itself out of it, then you might not even be talking about them in there. It's just Clemson, the Big 10, the Pac-12, which could easily turn into a mess for one of them, and then it might happen.
What I will say is I think it would be more likely that LSU got their way back in if that game would have been more competitive. It was not a close game, and that's, you know, when people are deciding the Final Four, and they're like, oh, okay, Final Four, should we put in Alabama versus this team that they've already handled? It's one thing when they, like when they had that 9-6 game,
yeah,
and it was like, you know what, that game could have gone either way. I mean, this was a pretty one-sided affair.
It was, but in the end, you're going to have wins over all the other SEC West schools, and I think it depends on what happens the next 3 weeks. They need to house Arkansas, Ole Miss, and A&M.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they did, but a lot has to happen, but it's not completely impossible. We saw it. Well, go ahead and do your read. We'll talk about it when we come back.
All right. Got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. Law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take one of these tests, the blood test or breath test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, guys, there's still hope, even if you failed one of those tests. A lot of things you should know about breath tests. They're inaccurate. They're unreliable. They're designed for you to fail. And, you know, if you've got a failed test on your record and, you know, you go to court with that and you just go in front of a judge and you've got some Joe Schmo who doesn't understand what's going on, he's going to probably tell you your best bet is to plead guilty and hope that, you know, it works out for you. Attorney Gary Trichter is here to fight for you. He's here to fight against that police science, which is faulty to begin with. He's a DWI specialist. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests. He's also one of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state of Texas, which means that he knows what it's about to go in front of these juries and explain the science to them. If you failed one of those tests, breath or blood tests, DWI, DUI, or even boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone at 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We play the Bud Light Fantasy Game each Thursday during happy hour. It's absolutely free to play. This Thursday, we're having happy hour at Christian's Tailgate White Oak location from 5 until 7. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Christian's Tailgate from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 road crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. And, man, that new Christian's downtown is pretty cool. It's actually probably a little farther walk than the one in Midtown for me.
Yeah.
But went there last weekend, and nice place. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take some phone calls. We plenty of college football stuff to talk about. And I guess now the chancellor at Missouri is leaving too. If you're
Everybody's out of here, huh?
Yeah. So it's interesting how that story wasn't getting much attention until the football players got involved.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa. We need to fix this pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, but I, you know, it's one of those things. It was funny because I was reading Clay Travis's thing on Outkick the Coverage, and of course he's talking about how, oh, well, it's a bad thing for them to be protesting. They should be protesting, not getting paid.
Right.
It's like, okay, whatever, man. But, you know, I think it still shows you can get things done, and the college campuses have always been that way. So, but it was funny that the thing that I found interesting about it was that it got almost zero run until the football team was involved. Right. When you start talking about losing $1 million at BYU. And the only thing I could think of is, why didn't the president just talk to these kids? Probably could have solved this a long time ago.
Possibly. But I think it got away from him enough that there was basically the only way to fix it was for him to be gone.
Yeah.
And
but it didn't, I mean, to me, it didn't seem like it needed to get that far.
It shouldn't have gotten that far.
Okay, every time this thing comes on, the wind blows papers everywhere.
We have to get some kind of control on that thing.
It's fine. I need a
paperweights.
Yeah, paperweight for it. That's all.
Well, there is a control. It's next to the door over there, way like about 30 feet away from you.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, the temperature is actually good. Right when it starts to warm up, this thing comes on. Very happy with that. I like that we have an intern sex couch. I mean, we've got a nice setup in here now.
Don't use that for intern sex.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying there's
You know why? Because AJ's going to nap on that
That's
thing.
My nap couch, man.
Well, we'll leave you a souvenir. Let's try Matt. What's up, Matt? Hello, Matt. Go, Matt.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
You're on. Go, bud.
Hey, I was just wondering, what are Florida's chances of winning the East to get into the Final Four?
Man, based on what I watched, not very good. They still look really, really inept on offense, and
they really miss Greer.
It's not impossible, but I'll go with highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. I mean, obviously they've already locked up the East.
Yeah.
But getting into the Final Four, I don't see it. I don't see how that team could beat LSU or Alabama. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think they were lucky they played LSU as close as they did.
Yeah, well, I if they had their quarterback, I'd like their chances a lot better. But you know what? They played a bad game. And especially that offense, God, Vanderbilt can't score. And they're pathetic to watch on offense. They play pretty good defense, though. And they played out of their minds, and you know Florida still should have rolled that team. I mean, wow. We saw what UH did to them. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. I really like this song, John. You know what it's about? You know what the Long Black Cadillac's about?
I can guess what.
It's about a hearse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's about being dead.
Oh, I was thinking something totally different.
Oh, me too. Me and AJ's mind are in the gutter.
Yeah, I'm the one talking about intern sex couches. Jeez. All right, quick break.